The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We have quite a bit on our minds today of things going on in the Valley and national sports scene. We are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. On this Tuesday, as we sit and speak, the Diamondbacks, the NFL has approved their overtime rule, and that's a big, big story. But I have a feeling today I have not gone off this path for a while, and that is about our hometown nine baseball team, because this morning Ketel Marte agreed to terms on a five-year contract extension. So effective starting next year. And so the baseball team, while it's not going to do much this season, in my humble opinion, they have tried their darndest to make sure that people don't know that the baseball team isn't going to be good this year. They've really tried hard. This morning I got an email, well, actually got it overnight, about Elton John adding a second concert next year. That's fine. That's fine. That's not going to help the baseball team out. I got a press release yesterday about how the former Friday's Front Row is going to become a cold beer and cheeseburgers and a bourbon and bones. I like Bourbon and Bones. Nice place. Has nothing, again, to do with baseball. A friend of mine who's been a season ticket holder since day one sent me a note this morning saying he got an email from the team about they're going to have a sleepover. Again, that has nothing to do with the team. I'm sitting here today saying, Derek, I get it. You don't have much of a story to tell. Like, do I really believe yesterday they agreed to terms with Ketel Marte, or do I fully believe that they agreed to terms whenever it was and they looked at the calendar and said, yeah, the Suns aren't playing on this day, and you know, the Cardinals, we can't really control them, and there's nothing going on in Arizona State, and the Coyotes aren't going to be playing, and if we announce it on this day, which is what I'm doing, so I'm playing right into it, but it's pretty obvious. If we announce it on this day, we'll get a little bit of traction, you know? Forget about the fact that Nick Ahmed's shoulder is not good and he may need surgery. Forget about the fact that Josh Rojas, who's a nice utility player, may end up being their opening day third baseman because they haven't invested in a big name over at third base. Forget about the fact that Zach Gallen is not at 100% again. Forget about all that. Hey, we got Elton John. We got cool place to come watch the game. And so the idea of, you know, that we're going to be in this for the long run this season because the team is going to be competitive, here's how it usually goes here in Arizona. The Dodgers just kind of dink around, and around July 1st, the Diamondbacks will go to L.A. Somewhere in July, they usually go to L.A., and usually they lose 3 or 4, and usually that's the end of the year, and usually they start pairing off bodies. That is what is going to happen here. Am I happy they spent some money on Ketel Marte? Sure. But do I really think that Mark Melancon is going to be the key guy to solve the bullpen woes that we've seen here forever? Do I really believe Madison Bumgarner is going to be here beyond July 31st? No. I don't like the little PR stuff that's done just to take the eye off of the issue here, which is the team isn't good. Keeping Ketel Marte, that's terrific. Do I think he's going to make it through all 5 years of his deal here in Arizona? No. I wish that I had more hope. Like, this team is, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 guys away from giving me hope. And they haven't done much of anything. If you think about it and you look at the offseason, it's not like I can sit here and hang my hat on Zach Davies being signed to a one-year deal. And you guys deserve better than that. You do. Fans deserve better than that. Rolling a team out on the field and then saying, well, you know, we're just in a small market. Not when you see media companies like Apple step forward. You can find a few nickels rubbing around to go get the players to get this thing headed in the right direction. And yeah, every day we're talking about the bigger sports here in town, why the Suns are playing so well. They're getting ready for the postseason. But this is supposed to be Hope Springs Eternal. And I just, you know, this morning when I open up my email and it's the Elton John concert, and yesterday it was the burger, you know, the cold beer and cheeseburgers. And I like cold beer and cheeseburgers. I do. But I would just love to see something pop up that says Diamondbacks acquire three-time All-Star, five-time All-Star, Diamondbacks sign free agent star, Diamondbacks get front of rotation guy. It hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. And then the other side of it is I'd love to see the Diamondbacks grow this player. Give me the next Brandon Webb, okay? Give me a guy that you're going to bring up through the minor leagues. You're going to put him on the mound, and every fifth day I'm going to be interested. This team is just, it's frustrating. Can you tell? Yeah, I've been stewing this morning about it. All right, at the NFL owners meeting, so they approved overtime, and they're going to tweak the rule of overtime just for the playoffs, a modified proposal that will guarantee each team a possession, but only for postseason games. The vote took place today at the meetings. So if I sound kind of dismissive, like this should have happened a long time ago. I don't understand how, well, I do. It's a lot of guys that have done very well in other businesses, and they own a football team, and they think they got it all figured out. Yeah, I'm amused when Bob Kraft says, yeah, we're kind of disappointed with him in the playoffs in a while. I don't know. It's because Tom Brady left. So is Bill Belichick really that great of a coach? Yeah, he is, but it's part of the deal. You lose talent and you take steps back. The idea that all 32 NFL teams will have to hire a minority assistant coach or woman, and there's going to be a pool of money to pay them, and we're here in 2022, when I got into this, and this does sound like old man get off my lawn, but for people to want to rip on Al Davis, go look at what Al Davis did. You know, go look at what Al Davis did with people like Gene Upshaw and Art Schell. Not just as players, but as people that he brought through the ranks to be either in union positions or coaching positions. Just go look at that. For people who want to rip on Al Davis, you know, knock yourself out. Understand the history of this game. I was on my Zoom this morning with our two interns, and we were talking about, you know, the Chris Rock, Will Smith encounter, and how you're in the TV world and you have your 5 minutes of sports all set up for Sunday night, and all of a sudden, something like Will Smith smacking a Chris Rock turns your whole world upside down because they're going to go take 4 minutes away from you. Understand that this is a business that can flip like that. In the NFL, you would think that in this day and age, we wouldn't be sitting here celebrating things like, hey, you know what? We're going to make sure that we have a minority coach on every team on the offensive side of the football. Like, that should have happened years ago. Should have. And yet there's people that think like, oh, this is progress. This is progress. Like, you really have to get these 32 owners together and say, guys, get out of the country club, hire the best people, move out of the way. When Al Davis did it all those years ago. So the Suns play at Golden State tomorrow. I saw earlier today that ESPN interviewed 100 media members about the most valuable player. I wrote something about how Devin Booker deserves to be in the MVP discussion. I could see voting for him, but I also believe that the sins of the past by the owner here is still wreaking havoc and people just want to forget about it. Well, these 100 media members who were interviewed, one of them voted for Devin Booker, one. And then it's a two-horse race once again between Embiid and Joker. Now, are we surprised by this? Here in Phoenix, we're all put off. Well, he's not going to win. And the bigger prize is the MVP of the NBA Finals. A regular season vote being taken by guys that are in Memphis aren't going to give you a shot. They're not going to vote for Devin Booker. They're going to vote for Ja Morant. That's just how it is. Guys in LA, you know, they're going to go big picture. They're not going to look over to Phoenix. Phoenix is off the radar. Media guy in New York City is not looking at Devin Booker in Phoenix playing tomorrow night at Golden State at 10:30 tip-off East Coast time. He's not going to watch him. This isn't that hard. It really isn't that hard. Is he being disrespected and shortchanged and all that nonsense? You know, just go out and play. And I truly believe that Devin Booker is not one of these guys that sits around and says, woe is me. You know, I'm here to win basketball games. That's why I love this team so much. I am one of those that is actually, I'm not supposed to root. I'm not supposed to love teams. I'm supposed to just look at, hit it down the middle, play it straight, bring out the sledgehammer when necessary, bring out the fly swatter when necessary, and pat people on the back when necessary. I'm not supposed to sit here and cheerlead and wear orange and purple glasses or wear cardinal red or any of that nonsense. You know, I don't have maroon shirts and gold. Things are bad with Herm Edwards. That's it. It's not that hard. So, but I'm finding myself like scheduling time to make sure that I watch every Suns game because they're entertaining. They're playing the game of basketball the right way. There's no me. There's no I. There's none of that. There's no how many views am I going to get? How many clicks am I going to get? How is my, you know, has my street cred on social media? There's none of that BS. There's none of it. They just go out and ball. And I love that. So, yeah, I'm cheering for them a little bit. I'm going to travel with them in the postseason when I see it necessary. I'm not going to go to their first-round games because they should win. In their second-round game, they should win. Give me the third round. All right, let's see if they are going to be challenged. They should not be challenged in the first two rounds. I'm not saying clean sweep. It's not the other teams are a bunch of stiffs, but they're clearly that much better. They're going to win 65, 66 games. They are, and that's great. Looking forward to their game tomorrow night. In the women's Final Four, I do want to get into that. Just in this idea that Connecticut, that game last night was as good as any game that you will see in March. Yeah, I said it. It's as good as any game you would see in March on the men's side, women's side. Double overtime last night, trying to move on, and the Huskies were able to do it. It was terrific stuff. March Madness, for those that are just caught up on the men's side, I have a women's bracket too. I've got some people that are playing in a women's pool. Try to pay closer attention to it. I try to do better. Try to do better than just stay focused on the men. I try, really do. I try with this site. I do. Team tries on this site. All right, take a break here. On the other side, much more on March Madness on a Tuesday. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, as promised, there were so many great moments in the madness of March, and Steve Lapis was a part of a couple of them, I thought. One was all the run by the Peacocks, National Peacock Day. They had fun in their studio shows with it. But the other one, he's in Portland with Andrew Catalan, and the ball gets stuck. And the two of them had one of the greatest calls, I thought, in a delay of game that I've ever seen. And I want to have the coach on for that's the fun side. Obviously, the Final Four. What the heck happened to the Pac-12 and West Coast basketball in general? So we have a lot to talk about with CBS Sports College basketball analyst Steve Lapis. How are you?
I'm doing great. How's it going?
Good. I'm down to four, Steve. And the magic moment there, first of all. That thing blew up more than anybody expected on social and around the world. And then another cheerleader did it, but it was a tough act to follow.
Well, you know, it's just funny how Andrew Catalan is so good at capturing the moment. You know, we also had the game where Michigan and Wisconsin had the fight, and he captured that too. So, I mean, here's a guy who's, you know, when something happens in the moment like that, you don't have time to think about it. You just react. And his natural instincts as a broadcaster are so good that he just nails these things every time they're placed in front of him. And that was just another example. Like, there were like 2 million views of that call of the cheerleader going up there. It was just an amazing moment to be. But hey, I did my best, which was to be shut up and just listen to him.
And then you fist bump in between the break because you know.
Exactly.
That's it. All right. National Peacock Day. Before we get into the game, we're not just going to push St. Peter's off to the side. When the Netflix documentary is made about this, who plays Shaheen Holloway? I mean, you can't just let this go off on they made it this far and that's it. It's one of the greatest moments ever in the history of the tournament, right?
No, there's no question about it. I mean, when you think about it, there is you could give me that there'll be three 16s, I think, to beat a one seed before that happens again, before a 15 gets to the Elite Eight. And that's how rare I think we're going to find that being. Now, obviously, it happens. There's potential for that to happen more nowadays than it did 30 years ago because the kids leaving early and the mid-major teams are older and the other teams are younger. But in a year like this, which is a COVID year, college basketball is about as old as it's ever been. And for them to do what they did is just an unbelievable accomplishment. I mean, St. Peter's is not even close to being one of the best jobs in the MAC conference. I coached in the MAC at Manhattan College for 4 years, so I know exactly. Their budget's the worst, everything else, and here they were, get to an Elite Eight. It was just a phenomenal accomplishment.
Steve Lapis with a CBS Sports college basketball analyst. All right, Pac-12, Gonzaga, West Coast basketball in general, where are we at here? Because U of A, UCLA, were they just not tested enough during the regular season? What do you make out of it? Because everyone's trying to figure it out here, Steve.
I think sometimes we make too much out of it. You know, it's the tournament. The tournament is crazy. You know, you never know what's going to happen. You got to have a lot of luck. Like people are asking me, the Big Ten, they haven't won a championship since 2001, and they get 8-9 teams in every year. So how can you have 160, 170 teams get in the NCAA tournament every year? I mean, in 20 years, 21 years, and nobody wins it. It's the tournament. That's the only way I could, you know, it's easy to say, well, Gonzaga plays in the West Coast Conference, but they also were in two national championship teams in the last 5 years. You know, UCLA, well, you know, and Arizona, they just got beat. And I think once you get to the Sweet 16, let's understand this. And even before that, but especially in the Sweet 16, you're playing a good team, anything can happen.
Yeah, and in this state, there's a lot of people that are after Bobby Hurley. I'm like, stop, press the brakes. Who are you going to get that's better for a job at Arizona State that's not done much? He's building it. And in Tucson, it's year one after Sean. So I just feel like in this state in particular, it's patience. And fans don't want to hear patience. And patience will get a coach fired after 4 or 5 years. But I think in both spaces, they're in a good spot.
Yeah, well, you know, nowadays that is 4 or 5 years is a lot. You know, yeah. Nowadays it's 3 years, really, that people get fired. And you think about the job Bobby has done prior to this year. And even this year, the way they played in February and March in terms of bringing that thing back, I had their game at Arizona on CBS, and they couldn't have played better. So they had injuries. They had so many things going on. So, you know, Bobby's done a great job there, and he'll continue to do a great job. And as far as Arizona, I mean, what can you say? Tommy Lloyd had as good a year as you could possibly have in your first year. And, you know, those guys all improved from last year to this year. You saw that the improvement was unbelievable. And yeah, they had a tough loss in the tournament. There's no question about it. But I think Arizona basketball, Arizona State and Arizona are both in really good hands.
Steve Lapis with us. Before I get you out of here, okay, the injury to Justin Moore turns everything upside down for Villanova against Kansas. They have a short bench to begin with. What do you see in that matchup with that injury?
Well, you know, obviously Caleb Daniels is like a sixth starter. So as far as that goes, they have a quality starter. Now, losing Justin Moore is tough because he was their second most important player. To me, Colin Gillespie is the most important player, and then was Justin Moore. Just all the little things besides scoring, all the other things that he does, rebound, defending the other team's best perimeter player. I mean, he just did so many things. And for Villanova, I think they can still beat Kansas because their five guys are still really good and they still have that culture, the way they play. The problem is if they get any kind of foul trouble, they're going to need 20 minutes from guys that have been playing 4 or 5 minutes and Brian Antoine, who has played no minutes. So if they get two fouls in the first half on two guys, they're going to have a major issue. So it'll be interesting to see if Jay maybe uses zone a little bit more to try and keep guys on the floor. He's really it's definitely a delicate juggling that he's got to do. But if things go well and they don't get in foul trouble, they definitely can win.
How do you not root for Coach K to win this? How does that? I mean, we're supposed to be impartial, and yet here it is.
I mean, this is like a movie. You know what I mean? This is what we have here. It's like a movie going on. Who would think that this could be laid out any better? Not only making it to the Final Four, but playing Carolina for the first time in the history of the NCAA tournament. They've never faced each other. They played 257 games against each other total in their history and never won in the NCAA tournament. That is amazing. And the fact that they're playing in the Final Four in Coach K's last year, after what's going on the last month with Carolina winning at Cameron Indoor. You can't make this stuff up.
You got a gut on that one, Steve?
I think Duke ends up winning because I think they're better. You know what I mean? They just have better players. They got 5 first-round draft picks. They're playing great right now. I think when they beat Michigan State, when they were down 5 in the last 5 minutes, I think that did something that all of a sudden the confidence factor for those young guys just rose up completely. And no, Hubert Davis has done a great job because they had a very uneven year in North Carolina. But I just think Duke has better players. And not taking anything away from North Carolina, I just think Duke's better.
Good stuff. Appreciate your time, your insight, and good stuff in the tournament, not just on the floor, but also in the studio as well. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Steve Lapis with a CBS Sports college basketball analyst, and we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, Doug Gottlieb in the car on his way after the Final Four is set. I want to talk with Doug for a few minutes from Fox Sports about the Pac-12, U of A, UCLA, the Zags, West Coast Hoops, and just the Final Four in general. Thanks for jumping on in for a minute. Drive safe. How are things, Doug?
All good, man. Doing a little park run with the dogs. So, or we're doing a little school run with my son. So, all good. Interesting. Always interesting how we get to the Final Four, and when usually there's always a blue blood, seems like, and then there's usually a Cinderella. Who knew that our blue blood would and Cinderella would be both North Carolina? So that one's weird. So it's a weird Final Four, but it should be a really, really good one, entertaining one.
How do you find yourself not rooting for Coach K on this one, or is it just open? Look, this is his tournament. This is his song.
I think they're going to win it, but I don't know. I could make the argument that Jay Wright runs the best modern day college basketball program, considering all the different factors, and they're playing without arguably their most talented player. Bill Self, I think, has done his best coaching job at Kansas. I don't think this is even close to his most talented team. And yet here they are, Big 12 champions and in the Final Four. And then, you know, I have a personal relationship with Hubert Davis, having worked with him at ESPN. And there's like 5 people or so in this industry, you know, Clark Kellogg, LaFonso Ellis, Hubert Davis, a couple others that are just like better guys than everybody else. They're just incredible people. And Hubert's one of those guys. So it's not to say I'm not rooting for Coach K. It's to say, like, all right, but that would mean I have to root against those guys. And no thanks.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. It's really interesting because the national narrative, is, I believe, has got to be what it is today. And this is Mike Krzyzewski's tournament, but there are compelling storylines all the way around. When you look at the West Coast, and out here in Arizona, there are fans upset that the Cats got eliminated. Bobby Hurley hasn't gotten it turned around to some people's expectations. I'm not one of those. I like where Bobby is. And then Gonzaga being eliminated. Is there something about the West Coast, Doug, from what you see? Or is it just, look, they ran into better teams, Brad, and this isn't brain surgery?
I don't think so. I don't think it has. The whole coastal thing is really obnoxious. You know, it's like, UCLA's plenty tough-minded. Now, they didn't guard that well when they got eliminated, but they're tougher than hell. They went to the Final Four last year. Gonzaga went to a championship game last year. And now Gonzaga's not on the coast, but it is in the western United States. So I don't know. Like, everybody wants to make West Coast soft, East Coast tough. East Coast strong, West Coast weak, right?
But yeah, right.
It's not the reality. The sport is the sport. I do think that if you wanted to pick out a fundamental flaw of Gonzaga and of Arizona, they're two very, very offensive-minded teams. And they are two teams that I think that the easiest parallel for people who don't really know the sport is it's a lot like the Indianapolis Colts when Peyton Manning was there and what the Patriots would do to them. If you remember back, every time they play the Patriots in the playoffs, it seemed like the Patriots would force them off their timing rounds, right? They would just be physical with them at the line of scrimmage. And that's really what happens to Gonzaga and this year to Arizona. Tommy Lloyd is their head coach, where if you just let them run up and down and run offense, you're going to get your brains beat because they're really good. And I actually think Arizona was more talented than Gonzaga was. I think Gonzaga had a better they've just been good for longer. And I think their point guard was notably better. But it's not that Kirk Kalisa is bad. He's just, you know, I think Nembhard is outstanding. I mean, really, really a big-time player. And he had way more experience during his time at Florida and his time playing the Final Four last year, so all of those things. So I don't think it's any one side of the states is softer. Like, UCLA is tough. If Gonzaga's not tough, it's not because of where they're located. It's because of how they play, you know. And I don't think they play soft, but just their style is very free-flowing. And, like, look, if we're realistic, the WCC people, they have a tendency to get really, really defensive, really defensive over their league, you know. And I think their league's outstanding. The problem with it is you're not going to face the level or depth of athletes that you're going to face in the NCAA tournament. Now, obviously, with their success, they're the only school to make it to seven consecutive Sweet 16s here in the last 7 years or last seven tournaments, whatever. So they've been successful. But I think when you get to the absolute peak, one, some of it's that they haven't seen it, and some of it's just that they're not – it doesn't get – what they don't have doesn't get exposed. So as for Arizona, like, look, you couldn't have had a better year one. I mean, I guess you could have had a better year one under Tommy Lloyd if they went to a Final Four. But considering where that program had been, and the seamless transition, and, like, look, let's also be honest. I know Tommy's no dummy. He knew that Sean left him players, but to keep them, to embrace them, to give them a system where they can flourish in, I think that's great coaching. I think that's a great first year for Arizona.
Before I get you out of here, and I appreciate your time this morning, Doug, Ben Mathurin, the next level, how good, what's the ceiling, what do you see?
It's really good, really, really good. And he has that thing where he usually, I mean, obviously he didn't play well in their last game, but usually brings his level up based upon the level of competition. Brad Beal, maybe? Brad Beal's probably the ceiling.
Yeah.
Like, he's a damn good player. And he competes at both ends. He's tough. He makes shots. Really improve in the last 2 years. Yeah, he's the deal. I mean, this draft, you know, when people started watching college basketball as scouts, and they thought this was a three-guy draft, right? Chet, Jabari Smith, and Paolo. And I don't even know if Jabari was as much. Jaden Ivey was discussed. But you look, and now you put Ben in there. You put Jaden Ivey in there. Put Keegan Murray in there. You get, like, a lottery is a pretty – you're going to get a good player who's going to be a good pro and a potential all-star for years to come.
Good stuff. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time. Be safe as you drive. Thanks.
Anytime.
Doug Gottlieb with us for a few minutes, Fox Sports, and we're back with more after this time out.